Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today, we have a couple things we're going to talk about. One, your favorite president of all times, Cons, off the top of your head, go. Who is it?
Wait, Cons, let's at the same time. Let's see if we're thinking of the same president.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
One, two, three.
Calvin Coolidge.
Oh, Calvin Coolidge. Yeah, Calvin Coolidge is actually who we're going to be talking about.
No way.
Old Silent Cal is what they call them. I didn't know a whole lot. There's a lot of presidents that I don't know fuckle about.
He's one of the only ones that I couldn't picture in my head. Like, no idea what the guy looked like. Don't really know anything about him. Great last name, Coolidge.
Yeah, it is a good last name.
I think with presidents, like, you know about the first three or so, and then there's a major gap. And then you pick up with FDR, and that's where most people's knowledge base for presidents goes from there.
Me, I hit George Washington, and I don't think about him again until we hit LBJ's cock.
Yeah, yeah, which he called Jumbo, by the way.
He did.
He referred to it as Jumbo.
As he should have.
And he needed Levi's to actually make him bigger crotches because his dick was out there for the world
to see. No free ads.
No free ads to Levi's. But we're going to talk about him because he had some stories that I never heard of, and I, honest to God, he seems like a dude that I would love to hang out with.
Oh.
And I never would have thought about that of old Calvin.
Really?
Never would have thought about it. When we get into these, I didn't even send Kate and Cons the sheet. So these are all going to be fresh. They have no idea what we're going to be talking about. Cons doesn't even have it on his computer. And Kate's going to be reading like Ron Burgundy, where she doesn't know what's going on, but it's just going to appear. And then she's going to say it and we're going to walk through it. So that'll be fun. We'll also talk about a little bit of the news brief, what some of the things that are happening in the news around the military world. But we'll do that quickly. And all of that is going to be presented to you by our friends at the VFW. We love the VFW. We've had a great time working with them over the last couple months, from going to the legislative session to talking with their people to just talking with the folks that are at the DC office and learning about what they do each and every day. Because I went to the Legislative Affairs conference and I was down there for 4 or 5 days. And I'm like, look at me doing stuff for veterans. These motherfuckers are out there every day working hard. And since then, now that I'm paying even more attention to what's going on at the VFW, they're on they're on the Hill all the time. They're in big meetings all the time, making sure that things like the Major Richard Starr Act will get passed. There's like 87%, 70-something, 80, low 80s, high 70s percent approval rating of that. I think it's up to, I think they have 75 or 76 senators that are signed on, 300 members of the House, and it's not brought to the floor yet, which makes no sense at all. So the VFW is working hard there. They're also going after those claim sharks that are coming after your money, the money that you've earned and the benefits that you earned. If you want to learn more about what they're doing there, you can go to don'tfeedthesharks.org. And I beg you, before you file for the PACT Act, do that. Talk to them and make sure that you're not going in already screwing yourself over, or screwing your family over, because you don't know. You don't know what you don't know, but the VFW does know. And that's the reason why you got to go with them to help you out. You could join the VFW, which I strongly recommend.
Lifelong members.
Lifelong, all three of us, lifelong members. We got the hat and everything. Mm-hmm. So you can go to vfw.org/join or vfw.org/barstool or don'tfeedthesharks.org to make sure that you know everything that the VFW is doing and what they can do for you. And coincidentally, whenever you are a member, what you could do to other, what you could help other veterans do, which is important.
I did exactly that. I've been working with them on a current claim, and my buddy, my battle buddy, who I've had on the show and mentioned on the show, Rob, he was having issues. So I said, hey, buddy, let me connect you with the VFW. So I reached out to my guy. They got in contact with someone local for him where he lives, and now he's going to get all his stuff squared away.
Yeah, I've been helping the guys at my local VFW learn how to shotgun a high noon.
And how to put on a back brace.
That's very good. Now, some of them, the airborne, they all have them.
Okay, sorry, speaking of back brace, Kate,
oh
I
my
saw a
God.
Video you recently. You were walking, it was like...
My cousin, I was in Indiana over the weekend, and all the kids, there was like 8 toddlers running around. So I'm in the backyard with them, and I wasn't even wearing the brace when
but that. Didn't you say that you came swinging by from this from that clock tower in Paris?
And so, Hunchback in Notre Dame. That's what I look like, though. My cousin just taking this innocent video of the yard, and I go walking across it like the Yeti, and I am so bent.
You're like Mantis.
This has physically crumpled me in a way. My bras and pants don't fit the same anymore. Like. This has crumpled
me. Oh, it affects bras too.
I have a distended stomach now that has created a shelf. It's very bizarre. It's changed the shape of my entire body. Everything is fucked. It's really neat.
What are you going to do about bathing suits?
I mean, I've always been a one-piecer.
Yeah. There's too much. One-piecers are very in right now.
So oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's one piece with a caveat, Cons. Buttholes and butt cheeks are out in the world in a big, big way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's even more so than the thong. Like when the thong showed up on Miami Beach, like late 80s, early 90s.
The high cut. It's in now. Very high cuts, cheeky.
And like the cheeks. And I'll say it. The puss is out in a lot of areas.
And it's stressful. As a lady, earmuffs, guys, with an enormous amount of pubes. Yeah. It is very stressful.
Yep.
Where am I supposed to put it all?
Yeah, I always wanted to wear a Speedo, but I'm like...
Too much.
Started brush fire in this bitch.
Gross.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about Calvin. What do we got here?
Silent Cal was most known for his brevity. One particularly infamous incident recounts a White House dinner guest smugly informing Coolidge she'd make a bet that she could get more than two words out of him. His single retort, you lose. I mean, come on,
That's a good one, Calvin. That's a good one.
Even his parting gift to the word was verbally frugal. A last will and testament compromised of only 23 words.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah,
23 words for a president of the United States. Because think about how much money, property, all those different things that he had. He must have just been like, I'm going to give everything to my wife. Everybody else have a good day. Yeah. See you later.
Here you go.
23 words is nothing. That's barely two sentences.
Yeah, right.
I feel like these days, too, to become president, you got to be like, yep. Was he elected or was he, I should know this.
He's elected.
Or did someone die?
Mm-hmm.
What Coolidge lacked in words, however, he made up for in many other ways. Here are some things you may not have known about the 30th president. Number one, cunnilingus.
Huge tongue guy.
Yeah. No, he turned the White House into a veritable menagerie. Raised on a secluded farm in Plymouth Notch, Vermont. God, that sounds cozy.
I know. Right?
Go up to Plymouth Notch and have some syrup there.
You know they have the best apple brandy.
Oh,
up there.
Great little cup of apple brandy warmed up in the crock pot. Coolidge took comfort in being surrounded by wildlife. He and his wife, Grace, old Grace up in Plymouth Notch, they owned pets both wild and domesticated. Dogs, cats, birds, and raccoons were among the many species that overran the White House during Coolidge's tenure.
Coons.
Raccoons.
Well, coons get in the White House. Mama just sweep them out with a broom.
Yeah, what? I love that. They terrorized the milkmen. They baffled the Secret Service. Just before Coolidge's inauguration in 1925, Edmund Starling, Coolidge's Secret Service chief, moseyed down into the basement to find his new charge trying to stuff a black cat into a crate with a rooster. Coolidge was pithy as ever. He just wanted to see what would happen.
So that's the president of the United States. Just wanted to put a cat in.
That's Lance Corporal shit right there.
Just an old rat scallion, really. Just,
right,
just
he needs a safety.
When I was in the Marines, we would take like, not me, but the guys would take like an MRE box out in the field. And they put like a tarantula and a wasp in the box together. Yeah. Why? We just wanted to see what would happen. And that's very much this energy.
Mm-hmm.
Once the public got wind that their president had a penchant for the furry and feathered, strange packages began to arrive at Pennsylvania Avenue. It was basically unboxing.
Yeah, that's right.
Before the unboxing.
President Coolidge had a great Instagram account during COVID.
Yeah, but it was real live animals. He was floored with the animals, according to David Pistuza, historian and author of Calvin Coolidge, a documentary biography. Some of the gifts were simply too wild for the Oval Office and had to be transferred to the Smithsonian's National Zoo. Among them, a pygmy hippo named Billy, a wallaby, two lion cubs that Coolidge cheekily named Tax Reduction and Budget Bureau.
I mean, we're skipping over that.
Pygmy hippo.
A hippo, a tiny hippo, shows up at the White House. What do you do? I don't think they have a pool there.
Well, I remember when I did. They always do tours at the White House, like in 1920 something. Could
no,
I go?
I don't know. I don't know.
No,
if they
I don't think so.
But I remember.
I suspect that came about in the last few decades.
When I was a kid, it was during the Clinton presidency, and I was so excited. We did a tour of the White House, and I just knew I was going to see Sox. Remember, he had a cat named Sox, that was the only thing I gave a shit about. And the whole time, my eyes were just looking, and I didn't get to see Sox. And I just imagine my excitement ratcheted up a little more if there was a pygmy hippo.
I think that because we love it when one of the presidents has an animal running around.
Yep.
Like when President Obama
Except for Biden's. Fuck, dude.
Yeah, Biden's major Biden.
Dogs, not,
yeah,
well,
he
not
needs
good.
Some big help. Yeah. But we love the look of them. Even when Major and Commander were there, like, oh, look at these German shepherds. That's cool. Like that President Biden, like they've talked about how he has a pitching wedge. He'll hit a golf ball and his dog will run, go get it for exercise, which is great. when President Obama got those Portuguese water dogs, mm-hmm. people went nuts because Malia had like allergies and this was a hyperallergenic dog. So people loved that. President Bush had wrote many things about his dog and how much yeah. people loved that. So pets in the White House have always kind of been a thing.
It humanizes these people that right. we kind of see as like yeah. robot.
That's what I think the animals in the White House are a little like a version of our royal family.
Yeah.
They're the only ones that we really care about.
You know what we haven't had yet? A creepy snake president.
Oh, yeah.
We don't like, need, who's we like, don't hey, need a reptile no, that's, president.
That's he addresses the nation. All the TVs are like, beep, 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 beep. Special address from the president. And he just makes us watch as he feeds it mice. But like, check this out. He's about to eat.
But you come out there. President Bush gives his speech after 9/11 with an albino boa constrictor around his neck.
Yeah.
I think ISIS or Taliban immediately surrendered.
Oh, big time. We do. We need a reptile president or she. We need a creepy reptile lady or
no,
man.
No, we're not ready. I like to be as progressive as I can be. We're not ready for a lady snake president. We're just not.
Okay. Can't have it. Soon mm-hmm. enough, maybe I'll step up to the plate. But perhaps the oddest pet repurposing happened in November 1926.
Then it would be you and FDR in a wheelchair.
That's true. I'm almost there. Hoping to win Coolidge over, a cohort of well-intentioned admirers shipped him a live raccoon with the intent of having it roasted as the centerpiece of his Thanksgiving dinner. But Coolidge, who's eating raccoon?
Maybe that was a thing.
I've heard some weird animals in Americana, like people eat squirrel and shit like that, but I didn't know raccoon.
If we had a president that ate a raccoon on Thanksgiving, I honest to God think we should send a letter to the Queen of England and be like, I apologize.
Yeah.
We want to come back.
Well, they shipped him a live raccoon. They thought he was going to eat it. But apparently the raccoon was very well natured, sweet and friendly, and he couldn't bear to see her killed. So it was out of the frying pan and into the arms of the first lady. Just a few short weeks later, the newest member of the Coolidge household got gussied up for Christmas. They dressed up their raccoon with a red ribbon and put her on the Christmas tree with a shiny new collar. Rebecca, raccoon of the White House.
Now,
talk about a glow up.
If Rebecca the raccoon had an Instagram account, it would dwarf
oh
the
my
number
God.
Of Miss Peaches.
Yes.
I love Miss Peaches more than anybody.
I disagree.
You don't think you're so? Right.
Miss Peaches has a little something special.
Because here's the thing. Rightly or wrong, or right or wrong, raccoons have so much negative press out there on them. Largely, I think, due to the fact that they're nocturnal. So something that only comes out at night is perceived to be mischievous, is perceived to be doing nefarious acts, going through your garbage. It's disgusting. Nobody wants a raccoon around.
I think that's changing, Cons. I think if you 10 years mm-hmm. ago with like TikTok getting bigger, there's this one fella that lives mm-hmm. out in the country and his wife used to drop like little corn morsels for a couple raccoons. Then he became the raccoon guy. Mm-hmm. After she died, he wanted to make sure that the raccoons were safe and cared for. They started breeding. There's a huge raccoon colony of like 40 or 50 raccoons that sit on his back porch. And he just hands them hot dogs. He goes to Costco, uh-huh. gets huge packs of hot dogs and comes out and gives them. Adorable.
There's a restaurant in like Minnesota or something with a huge glass viewing window. And they've set up like a raccoon zoo out back. And they put all the food out. And then as you eat, you watch the raccoons goofing. They come and they goof around. It's a delight.
I would agree with Good you, game. Cons, if there was no clothes, though. No clothes, I think raccoon, get it out of here. Any animal dressed in clothes immediately brings eyeballs in and people love it.
I will say, in Con's defense, rabies not a good look. You
true.
Don't
yeah,
want
not cool either.
True.
You're always carrying that around.
Do pygmy hippos have rabies?
I think anything can have rabies if it tries hard enough.
Or if it's brave enough, yeah.
If it's bit hard enough. Mm-hmm. Like many other Coolidge pets, Rebecca was spoiled rotten. She had likely dined in dumpsters before D.C., but at the White House, chicken, eggs, shrimp, persimmons, and cream. Rebecca was often toted around in her own basket by Grace, making an appearance at parties and Easter egg rolls. Rebecca could be found draped around Coolidge's neck like a masked scarf as he went about his daily duties.
I mean, come on, Cons. If you see a little raccoon in her little Easter dress holding a little Easter egg, just sitting there like, I love my little yeah. Easter egg.
I just think their faces look like they're up to no good at all times because it looks like they're wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Which, you know, denotes that they're robbing the place of their garbage and such.
Well, you're right, Cons, because Rebecca got a little too squirrely for a raccoon. She made several botched escape attempts and then reluctantly they moved her to the National Zoo. Fearing she might be lonely at her new home, Coolidge and Grace even found her a male companion named Reuben. But their blind date was ill-fated, and Reuben fled the zoo.
Probably because she was persnickety after being
She was a little too bougie for him. Calvin Coolidge installed a mechanical horse to keep in shape.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
No, but I was thinking that is an animal I think I could get behind in the White House. If a president
be
had
careful,
horses,
they kick hard if you're behind them, cons.
That's right. You don't want to get behind them. But yes, that would be cool too. I say a miniature pony would knock people's dicks off in the yard. A little pony walking around, a little Snickers. What was the name of that horse on
Butterstuff?
No, the miniature horse on Parks and Rec. Anyway.
Oh, little Sebastian.
Little Sebastian, not little Snickers. Anyway, in his youth.
Little Snickers is a cute
it's
name.
A cute name.
That is a good name.
Maybe I'll be that first president. He was an enthusiastic horseman growing up. He carried his passion for riding to the White House, but the Secret Service was like, absolutely the fuck not, okay? Coolidge was understandably grumpy about this, and he complained loudly enough that New York banker Dwight Morrow decided to send him a mechanical hobby horse because, as luck would have it, Morrow had an extra one just lying around, just rich people stuff.
How does he not tell the Secret Service to fuck off? Like, the Secret Service can give you recommendations. They could tell you that you need to go to a bunker. They could take control in certain situations. I don't think they could tell you not to have a horse.
I mean,
President Bush had a whole ass ranch.
And he probably rode a horse. I don't know.
That's true.
Well, Coolidge rigged up the 475-pound mechanical horse, and he rode it in the White House. Thunderbolt was the nickname of it.
I like to imagine it's one of those things that you put a quarter in front of the grocery store. It's like,
it's right outside the Oval. It's
I'm like, really getting this? After it, Grace. This one's great.
Well, you know who invented it.
We have to talk about what's going on right now. Oh, he's on his horse.
Yeah, just on his horse. It was the mechanical horse was invented by John Harvey Kellogg, cereal guy. He also perfected a mechanical camel, which rocked back and forth instead of back and forth. Thunderbolt was deemed positive on Coolidge's liver and weight management, and the horse quickly began to wound his pride. He was mocked out of the White House for having a hobby horse.
I think that's fucked up. Yeah. If you're the president of the United States, occasionally you need to blow off a little steam. And if you want to do that that's essentially the call of duty of the 1920s.
Well, you can go see it yourself at the Northampton, Massachusetts Presidential Library for him, but you can't get on it, unfortunately.
Damn.
Yeah.
The thing, though. Nowadays, we take for granted how much we have available to us as a means for hobbies and entertaining ourselves outside of a work environment, even all the way up to the president. Back then, you had books.
Yeah.
Coolidge, maybe at some point in his life, he had the radio. I don't know about when he was in office. I'm not really sure.
He was one of the most technologically advanced presidents at the time. He was the first president to insist that he had a phone at his desk.
There you go.
Yeah.
So he could call people. There was no Netflix. You know, he wasn't reading Babysitter's Club or whatever book series he might be into.
He would have been a huge Babysitter's Club guy for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, he was a genius.
What a ridiculous reference.
What a pull.
Babysitter's Club. I don't know why that was top of my head.
He was more of a boxcar children guy.
If I was president in the late 1920s, I'm having a skee ball machine in the Oval.
Oh, for sure. Mm. For sure. Big skee ball. I made a little roller coaster in the yard, Coney Island. It was Coolidge's decisive action that brought him to national attention. It was blah, blah. I fucked up that paragraph. Anyway, historians praise Coolidge for presiding over low inflation, low unemployment, and budget surpluses every year of his presidency. He kept the country at peace, restored confidence in government after the scandal-plagued Harding years. We remember those Harding years.
Yeah.
Scandal-plagued. but being president and taking daily naps still apparently left Coolidge with a lot of free time. So this guy figured everything out, still had time to nap, and was still bored.
Well, it's because, like in some of the other things I read, he didn't give a fuck. His entire thing was, I don't want to pass any bills. I don't want anything to go. And it actually worked out. Like he went out of his way to veto things that were going to cost the country money. And so if that wouldn't have happened, if there wasn't a surplus before the Great Depression, the country would have been even more fucked. But because he took naps, didn't do a whole lot, that was the only saving grace that got us through the Great Depression.
There you go.
How about that?
Naps save the democracy.
Yeah, I'm going to choose to look at it that way. I would like, start taking more naps.
And now we have people counting how many rounds a president, rounds of golf a president plays and complains about that. And this man was just napping all the time.
Well, when he wasn't napping, he liked to press the alarm buttons in the Oval Office. And when the Secret Service agents ran in to see what was wrong, he would be hiding. Coolidge decided.
This one left it out, but he's done it several times. He would be like, help, help, help me. And hit the panic button.
Yeah.
And then he would be underneath the Resolute desk and the Secret Service guys would come running in and he would hop up and be like, gotcha.
He would oil check him from under the twink. Got you. Wow.
Nut tap.
You would nut tap him.
Nut tap was fine in the 1920s.
Child. Seriously. Just an overgrown child in the Oval Office.
He's got a fucking baby hippo. He's got a raccoon and he's playing peekaboo as a grown ass man.
Wow.
I like this guy.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think he'd want to keep the good times going, but 1928 rolled around and he said, I'm not going to run for election. When reporters asked him why, he said with characteristic succinctness, because there's no chance for advancement. He said, I've peaked and I'm going to dip out right before the Great Depression. If Coolidge had been reelected, he would have suffered Hoover's fate of being president during the Depression. His political timing was as good as his comic timing. Social critic H.L. Mencken once speculated on how Coolidge would have responded to the collapse of the stock market and the collapse of the nation's economy. He would have responded to bad times precisely as he did to good ones. That is, pulling down the blinds, stretching his leg up on the desk, and snoozing away the lazy afternoons. And yet, the iconoclastic Mencken had his begrudging praise for Coolidge. There were no thrills when he reigned, but neither were there any headaches. He had no ideas and he was not a nuisance. You know,
that's
what?
All I want.
He was a beige president. He was just a beige.
That is all
mayonnaise on white bread.
If we could get back to that spot where there's no thrills when he reigned, but there weren't any headaches either. That to me, that's ideal.
All the 24-hour news places would have gone out of business. Yeah. They would have had nothing good to do.
Yeah. I wonder if he wore a tan suit.
If I was CNN, I would have had to send a hooker in there and see if he could stir up some tail.
There's so much stuff that we don't know about presidents, or that I do. I can't speak for everybody. You ever heard any of those stories, Cons?
No.
That's one area. I didn't know any of that about Coolidge. And presidents are one area of history that I really am not very well versed. And I always have a problem. I bet you.
Yeah.
I might have a difficulty naming more than like 10 vice presidents. So
it's
just not an area I couldn't name.
I'm good with
far, probably. Was he Democrat?
Let's see what you got.
Coolidge, Democrat or Republican?
Republican.
Okay.
Republican.
Al Gore.
Yep.
There you go.
Kamala Harris.
Mm-hmm.
Who's current president?
Who is the current?
She got president? That. She got that one. Oh, who is the current
president?
She
says.
Oh my
Who's
God.
Our current president?
Wait, let me think about Bill Clinton was Al Gore.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And then there was George H.W. and Ross Perot.
Who was Barack Obama's vice president?
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden. Yes! There you go. Yeah.
Oh.
What about the guy who misspelled potato?
Potato. Oh my God.
You don't know this one?
No.
It was H.W.'s vice president.
Truman was a vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He only became president because somebody died, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Dan Quayle.
Dan Quayle.
Oh, Dan Quayle. Long-time Quayle Stooley egg. Dan Quayle. Quayle man. Yeah.
Long-time Stooley Dan Quayle.
Sure, absolutely. Is he
Shout
still
out
alive?
Gerald Ford, huh?
Dan Quayle, is he still alive?
Oh, yeah. And he's younger than Biden and Trump.
Shut up.
Swear to God.
That's crazy.
He is.
We used to grow him a lot younger in the White House.
He is. Look it up, Kate. See how old he is right now.
But you know what? They used to wear their pants a lot higher, which made them seem a lot older.
Google that, Con. Mm-hmm. See how old Dan Quayle is. I think Dan Quayle is 76 or 75.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I bet you that's right. 76 sounds right. Dan Quayle is, pretty close. 77.
Yep. Younger than Biden and Trump. And he was the vice president in 1991.
Good God, get it together. And we need
that's fucking nuts. Man.
I need just a young, hot piece of ace.
Oh, yeah,
to run for president.
Yeah,
their whole squad's got to be young. Alex Earl,
Harry Styles,
and with VP Harry Styles, can have a snake.
Yeah, all right. So, speaking of presidents, we'll move on from that one. Another thing that's going on in the news. And I would do this if I was a journalist, without a doubt. People are stealing stuff from Air Force One.
Oh, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah. So people are on there. They're getting all kinds of souvenirs from Air Force One. They're going through. They're stealing pillowcases. They got gold rimmed plates that they're taking. They got glasses. And I got to be honest, if I'm on that plane, I'm pocketing something from
that.
Oh,
my God.
You have to. Why not give them a gift bag with that stuff? Or make it like whenever you stay at a place. I've never stayed like this, but I know that you can. Like at the Four Seasons, where if you like their robe, like their super thick plush robes, that you can purchase it from the lobby. Like you can go down and be like, I'm going to pay $180, $200. If you're able to be on Air Force One, you should be able to buy one of those pillowcases that says Air Force One.
I went to a very fancy
souvenir store.
I very fancy steakhouse in Chicago right before I had this last baby. And they had really cool knives and forks and stuff that were stamped with the name of the steakhouse. They were like super unique looking. And they had been like specifically forged for this restaurant or whatever. And I think the waiter could see us. We were all like, pss, 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 like, which one of us is going to pocket the knives and all this stuff? And he came over. He's like, just so you know, you can take them, but it'll be like an additional $85 added to each part of the bill that whatever. It's like, oh, you can take them, but we'll notice and you will be charged for it. And I was like, that's kind of cool. If you're drunk enough, you want to wing it.
Yeah, who's doing that inventory? They have like a gear list?
They must. They must have a gear list. At the end of the
night, they lay out all the forks and be like, all right, empty out all your shit.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought that was mine. But yeah, they're stealing. They're sitting in the press section of the plane and they're stealing all the good shit. And I say, continue to do so.
All right. You could steal anything that you know is in the White House or Air Force One. What is it?
Also, is that our tax money playing for like gold rimmed plates?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
How else is it getting paid for?
Might be donated, but probably paid for. Probably I actually just found this out. I was listening to an interview with Michelle Obama. And by listening to an interview, I mean watching a TikTok where she spoke about. I had no idea that they pay for all their food. Like, so if you're in the White House and you order something, like, and you have to pay for that food. You don't pay for the staff, but you're responsible. You don't just get free food for 4 years and like have anything you want. You're required to pay for those groceries. And it's just like it is at, I forget what the name of the store is on base where you go get Lysol and it's like $8 for Lysol instead of $2.
Commissary PX?
Yeah.
No, it's like the, it's the Shop government at? Store. No, it has nothing to, you can't go in there as like a, even as a troop. It's like gotta be company battalion purchases. Mm. And you pay $8 for Lysol instead of $3. It's like that. So if they get a steak and you can get the steak for $15 at the grocery store, they're charging you like $25 for that steak. So you end up paying more money.
I'll tell you what. I didn't know that, number one.
The only one's a different state's dinner. State dinner, you don't have to.
Yeah, I'm sure the bigger
dinner.
Number
two, though, but like, what do you like? The president gets a salary, and I guess it's meager compared to some other people's salaries and high, powerful positions. What does the president make? Like two and a quarter, maybe?
No, it's 450,000.
Okay, 450,000. But what are you spending money on? That's
nothing.
The question.
Right. Your food,
so
I guess.
You got to chip in for your groceries. I get it. I just didn't know that they actually had to pay for those. I just
and
thought,
you're not going into the White House if you're Charlie Bucket. Like you're going in there with some money anyway.
They'll be okay.
Most of them donate their salaries.
Yeah. Well, I don't think using President Obama as the example. I don't think prior to maybe a bunch of donations and things. I don't know that he went into office particularly wealthy, did he?
He made a lot of that money from the Hope book. He had two big books that he sold while he was there. Huge advances. So he was at least a millionaire, like whenever he went in. So he's, maybe not uber rich, but he was, he's not poor by any means.
No. Anyway.
All right. So,
sorry. I don't know if it would be on Air Force One. I would love a matchbook with the presidential seal. I have to imagine that's somewhere around the
like
White
matches?
House. Yeah.
You know what's cool, Mike?
That's it? You're going to have anything? You want matches?
Listen, oh, matches are cool.
White House, just really quickly, I think with the White House and Air Force One, you can't take something too ridiculous because you got to act like you've been there before. You don't want to seem like a noob who's trying to like your Uncle Frank in it in first class for the first time trying to steal a crystal. You got to play it a little more cool than that.
My matchbooks used to be like a real collector's thing, like clubs and restaurants and all kinds of play. The
I
train,
love it
whatever.
When I go somewhere and they have them. Yeah.
My mom's mom collected that stuff, and she also collected cocktail napkins. And she had, when we were going through her stuff, she met my grandfather in Long Beach, California during World War II, and he was in the Navy. and like the cocktail napkins from the club that she was at when she met him, you know, like that's stuff cool. like that. It's yeah. cool. That and matchbooks. I like that kind of shit.
Now
steal everything you can.
Think about this. How lovely would this be in your home? If the thing that you got, you were like, I'm not going to take anything, but I'm going to clip a dozen or two dozen roses from the rose garden, dry them out, press them, put them in a big picture frame and hang them in your wall. And when people say like, oh, what's the significance of those roses? Yeah. Oh, I got them from the rose garden.
I already do that. I tell people that it's a yeah. lie.
But, I might do it too.
People
yeah.
love it.
It's a, that's a good
that's
story.
A great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. That's very Martha Stewart of you chaps.
Yeah. I read Pinterest.
I tell him Socks, the cat, actually pissed on these roses.
Even better.
When I was there.
That's how you keep them alive for a lot longer. All right. The next thing I wanted to mention is that the last survivor from the USS Arizona had passed away this week. He was one of the last survivors that were there. And if you've ever been, I went to Pearl Harbor a few years ago, and it was, I mean, it's really breathtaking, mm-hmm. like going down mm-hmm. and seeing all the different things that's going on, that the fact that there's still oil leaking from the ship after it's been gone for 70 years, 75 years. It's crazy. And so for the last person to die, you have those history lessons that are gone. And that's, we've talked about that a lot with our older interviews that we've done with Medal of Honor recipients or people who fought in World War II. With that last death, that's the last firsthand account that was available.
Yeah.
So that's why I encourage you, if you're listening and your grandparents are older, if they're Korean War veterans or they're World War II veterans and they've done some stuff and that you haven't heard about it and you want to, see if they'd be interested in coming on the show. We'd love mm-hmm. to talk to them about what their experiences were, because it's important to get those things on audio so it's around forever. All right, let's move on to Save Rounds and Alibis, which is going to be presented to you by our friends at BetterHelp.
Yes, of course. We all know BetterHelp because Zero Blog 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, as the calendar changes, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves much too thin. You know, especially with all the social gatherings starting to really pick up now that we're getting into spring. I mean, I'm looking at my calendar and it's stacked out through the fall and it's nuts. So, you know, you need to ask yourself, what's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time. Well, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And it's important to always be honest with yourself as it pertains to your social battery. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And the best news of all, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. So as we hop into spring, find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero.
All right, let's do some save rounds and alibis. Cons, you're up first.
Yeah, I mentioned briefly there, Martha Stewart. There's a great 4-part documentary right now on HBO about Martha Stewart and the lives that she led that I just finished watching. And I actually got in trouble because Alex was like, I would have enjoyed watching that with you. But the problem is she falls asleep and then yeah. I just search all the different streamers and I find stuff. And I just, sometimes I'll think like, all right, I better not watch that. And I'll ask her tomorrow if she wants to watch.
Yep.
Nevertheless, I recommend that one. Something I didn't know about Martha Stewart. Maybe I heard this, but I didn't remember it. She was a stockbroker. Her first job out of college, she was a stockbroker. And early on in her career, she was pulling down the equivalent of nearly $1 million a year. So she's, you know, sub 30 years old, making almost $1 million mm-hmm. on Wall Street before she decided to walk away and, you know, start her empire from there. But it was an interesting documentary. And then the other thing that I have, my advice to any listeners, if you ever run into a class action lawsuit, sign up for it.
Yep.
It only takes a few seconds and you're going to forget about it. And then 3, 4, 5 years later, you're going to get notified that you have a settlement coming your way. I did the 3M lawsuit. I found out about my settlement. And I mean, that was money that obviously I earned, but it literally took me 90 seconds to sign it up on a website. So just always sign up for class action lawsuits. Don't just blow them off.
Annalise does that too. She'll search for them. Like
really?
KFC had one. Like there's all kinds of ones that are out there and it's free money. There's also a site. I'll look it up. This is a great thing for me to talk about since I don't know what it is, but there's a website that you can go to like in the state that you're in your unclaimed funds from like return taxes or things that their people were required. Like there was one that's an extended warranty that I bought on a Jeep when I was an absolute idiot, which you don't need to ever purchase those if you're going to a car dealership. Just a heads up, don't do that ever. But there was like $900 I could get back because I like left that warranty program early, sold it in. So I got that $900, got some different ones from different class action suits. It's free money. They're giving it away, man. I'll take it. I'll take it all day.
The settlement, I think, was $6 billion.
Yeah.
I'll take my share. Thanks.
Yeah, I should have. I still hear a ringing in my ear whenever birds chirp or the news is on.
Anything else, Gons?
No.
Catherine?
Oh, boy. I don't know. Went to Indianapolis for Easter weekend. Toddler city. A lot of my family members, like 7 or 8 toddlers running around. Walked into my uncle's house holding my cell phone and then never saw it again. That was it. So some lady had to come over to my house last night. I didn't know I had signed up for the Assurion or whatever, where if you lose your phone, because I had only gotten it like last year, so there was still like $1,000 on it or some crazy shit that I would, whatever. And the lady came over to my house, what should have been a quick thing, to like, she brings the phone and helps you reset it up or whatever. And I was like, yeah, I'll do that because whatever. Something went amiss. This woman ended up stuck at my kitchen table with me for like 2.5 hours. Oh my God. Can't pick up the baby still. So she's got, Pat's doing a show downstairs. She's got the baby who took a huge dump while he was sitting on her lap. God. And then Cash fell in the kitchen and was crying. And so I'm holding up the, and she's like, let me, she's like looking at his foot and helping out with the baby. And it was like a whole to do. She was that, oh, she's allergic to cats and Sport came down. I had him up in
the
bedroom.
What a saint this woman is.
It was it was a big thing. So, anyway, that was very exciting. I have a phone again. So,
and it's nice. You're going to high definition pictures.
It's the same old ass phone. It's just a new, it's, newer. I can't explain it. Whatever. Anyway, so that's my big excitement from the weekend.
But. Yeah, but I guess the lesson learned, though, Kate, because you said this and now realizing, because Maggie will touch and grab anything and she's grabbed my phone before. And these kids, they just start touching stuff. You got to make sure that they don't enact, like turn your location off because you couldn't find your phone. Do find my iPhone.
Yeah.
Because Cash had just turned it off unknowingly.
I don't know. My theory is that either a toddler or an old got hold of it. And then it went into the abyss.
One of your old ass cousins is probably like trying to unlock their phone still. Like,
and it's like, why are Kate's kids in the background of my phone? Yeah. Uncle Wayne.
Classic Uncle Wayne. Yeah. Cause I had invited Kate over for Easter. We had people over for Easter. Oh, you have anything else?
No, that's it.
We had people over for Easter, was going to see. And I was like, damn, she didn't even text back to see. I know. Like, I'm like, no, thank you or anything. Jesus Christ. And then she texted me the next day and was like, I lost my phone, which makes sense. But the Easter thing was so much fun. My neighborhood is the best, man.
Yeah.
Like we had all these kids, because I told you there's probably 30 kids, like just on my block. Like, just on my block, there's kids. So to give you an idea how close they are to Cart's age, my next door neighbor has a kid that's in fifth grade, which is Cart's grade. Their next door neighbor on the other side has a kid that is in the fifth grade. Across the street has a fifth grader. Mm-hmm. Two houses down has a sixth grader. Two more houses down has a fourth and a fifth grader. And then there's just so many kids around that. And then there's littles too. So we put out in the neighborhood, we put out like 800, 900 eggs. Like they were everywhere. And the littles do it with the bigs. But the bigs, we start at one end of the street, and that's where they have to do. Fourth grade and above had to start there. They have to sprint all the way down to the end of the block where the littles are starting at.
Aww.
And then the olds go back to the beginning, and then they could start picking it up. So the littles have a chance to get a bunch of eggs. Nice. It was so much fun.
That's cute. I love that. I'm glad you wound up in a good neighborhood.
Same. It was great. Awesome. Doing bike rides because I'm not an e-bike cons. I'm doing bike rides because I signed up for that 100-mile bike ride.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to say, we have so much technology. Like, I'm talking to cons. We're looking at him here in Chicago while he's in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at him. It's in real time. The technology that we have there is crazy. We can do GPS anywhere. We have satellites that currently can see the Big Bang. How the fuck can we not make bike seats that are comfortable?
Yeah. Right? Oh, buddy.
I mean, this thing destroys my butthole.
Yeah.
Like, my butthole feels like it just got in a fight with Mike Tyson.
You got to wear it in. You got to wear your butthole in. It takes about a month.
It's I got to really get tough. That bad boy leathery. Yeah. Something. Mm-hmm. I need something.
Get a hobby horse.
Well, also, there's cream for saddle soreness.
There's what?
There's cream for saddle soreness.
Yeah, I got to cream up these cakes, baby. Yeah. That's what I need to do.
Put some cream on your cheeks.
Yeah. Mm. Somebody come over here and cream my butt cheeks. My butthole. Anyways, we'll be back next week. Sound the retreat.
Indeed.